بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما. رضينا بالله ربا، وبالإسلام دينا، وبمحمد صلى الله عليه وسلم نبيا ورسولا، وبالقرآن العظيم دستورا وإماما. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Peace be upon you and the mercy of Allah and His blessings. And once again we say Alhamdulillah wa shukrulillah. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has afforded us another opportunity, firstly to be present in this month of Shawwal. Allah ta'ala has afforded us another opportunity, and many opportunities Allah ta'ala affords us with, for turning to the Qur'an al-Kareem, for turning to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and keeping our connection with the Qur'an al-Kareem, and keeping our link with the Qur'an al-Kareem as well. Firstly, to begin with, we say shukran to Brother Mahmood for his assistance this afternoon as the sound engineer at the studio in Lanesha. Alhamdulillah, we are right here in the studios in the city of Durban. And to you, the esteemed listener of Radio Islam International, do remember that this afternoon's program, the format of the program, it's going to be slightly different for today, but inshallah, as the weeks go by, we also intend to introduce new segments. To begin with, today we are going to be profiling one of the senior qaris from Durban, very well-known qari, and alhamdulillah, had blessed him with an opportunity to study under the world's best qari, the world's best world-renowned reciter, the Sheikh, that was Sheikh Abdul Basit Abdul Samad rahmahullah. And alhamdulillah, our qari Ahmad Lokat Sahib had that opportunity. So we'll be starting off by listening to a recording of qari Sahib's, qari Ahmad Lokat Sahib hafizahullah. We made this request to qari Sahib for one of, you know, his recordings when he had graduated. So qari Sahib had sent us this recording, and this was at the Grey Street Masjid in 1979. Yes, 1979, and it was on the 29th of Ramadan. So qari Ahmad Lokat Sahib had recited at the Grey Street Masjid on the 29th of Ramadan 1979. After the qira'ah, it's going to be an ad break. After the ad break, we're going to be speaking to Qari Sahib, inshallah. And Qari Sahib is the Amir, is the director of the Islamic Educational Organization of Southern Africa. The head office is right here in Durban. Qari Sahib is also the trustee of the Crescent Girls' School here in Parlock in Durban. Also the trustee and the director of the Al-Azhar School, as well as the trustee of the masjid that's in Mayville, as well as the trustee of the masjid that's in Parlock as well. And Qari Sahib, alhamdulillah, has this link, has this connection with the Qurra from Egypt as well as other parts of the world, but especially from Egypt. Right now, we listen to this recording, and in advance, we'd like to inform you. We do apologize. Do remember that the sound quality may not be like the sound quality currently in 2020, but this recording was in 1979, but we wanted you to listen to this recording. And after the break, inshallah, we'll continue the rest of the program. We have not forgotten about Ulum al-Quran by Mawlana Dr. Yunus Osman Sahib. Remember, that's going to be coming up much later in the program. Time-wise, right now, it's already 17 minutes after 2. Right now, it's time for the Qira'ah. Thank you.
Yeah.
اللهم افتح علينا بالقرآن العظيم. That was the qira'a by Durban's very own Qari Ahmed Lokat Sahib Hafizahullah. Alhamdulillah, who was blessed with the opportunity to study under with the world-renowned Qari and Sheikh, that is Sheikh Abdul Basit Abdul Samad Rahimahullah. Shortly after the break, we will be in the company of Qari Ahmed Lokat Sahib, and thereafter, inshallah, we'll also request Qari Sahib to recite for us, as this recording was in 1979, some 41 years ago, when Qari Sahib recited on the 29th night of Ramadan at the Grace Street Masjid. We'll be back with you after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That brings us now to 1428, and a very warm welcome to the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International. Alhamdulillah wa shukrulillah. Once again, we thank Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are indeed very, very blessed. We're very honored that this afternoon we will be in the company of Durban's very own senior Qari in Durban, very well known as Hafiz Yusuf Lokat Qari Ahmed Lokat. And Qari Sahib is the Amir of the Islamic Educational Organization of Southern Africa. And speaking about EOSA, do remember, especially during the time of the pandemic and also going, you know, forward, there is e-learning taking place, online learning, but that's pertaining to the Islamic Educational Organization of Southern Africa. Qari Sahib is the director, the Amir, the trustee of the Crescent Girls School, the Al-Azhar School, as well as the trustee of various institutions, and also the trustee of the masjid in Mayville, right here in Durban as well, and also the trustee of the masjid in Parlock, very well known in the field of Qira'ah, exceptionally well known in the field of Qur'an-i Kareem as well, as the recording which we aired was in 1979, when Qari Sahib had recited on the 29th of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah, Qari Sahib, we are indeed very honored that we will be speaking to Qari Sahib today, and I think for the very first time on Radio Islam International. Qari Sahib, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to your Hafiz Wahdi and to all the listeners of Radio Islam.
Qari Sahib, we say Jazakallah Khair once again for accepting our invitation and joining us on Radio Islam International this afternoon. It's a great honor and pleasure for us to have Qari Sahib with us. Qari Sahib, alhamdulillah, we've heard the qira'ah, exceptionally beautiful qira'ah that we've heard, though it goes back some, you know, 41 years, the recording of the particular qira'ah where Qari Sahib had recited at the Grey Street Masjid, at the Jamia Masjid. Qari Sahib, we want Qari Sahib to take us through Qari Sahib's journey, starting off with the Tahfiz al-Qur'an and memorization of the Qur'an-i Kareem. And from there, we would humbly and kindly request Qari Sahib to take us on a journey to Cairo, to Egypt, where Qari Sahib had the opportunity to study under the world-renowned Qari, the world-renowned Sheikh, the world's, you know, Qari who has set such standards, and that is Sheikh Abdul Basit Abdul Samad Rahimahullah. Qari Sahib, we humbly request Qari Sahib to perhaps enlighten us on this, and I'm sure this will motivate many. As for many, it's just a dream, you know, for them to study Qira'ah. For many, it's a dream to becoming Hafiz al-Quran. But alhamdulillah, Qari Sahib has not only accomplished this, but Qari Sahib has been in this field for many, many years. Qari Sahib, please take us on this journey, the starting point.
Inshallah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا وحبيبنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. I know you mentioned that I'm involved in quite a few organizations and quite a few activities. I think the most precious to me is that Allah may just keep me as a servant of the Quran. As long as Allah keeps me in this world and Allah let me be in the company of Ahlul Quran. Inshallah, with all the Ahlul Quran, inshallah.
Ameen.
Alhamdulillah, I started my Hifzul Quran when I was a young boy. Strange thing that happened is that Sheikh Abdul Basit Abdul Samad Rabbana Yarhamu came to South Africa in 1966. And Bayt Shorty Al-Sari Tavel in Joburg was one of the host, and my father was the host in Durban. And because of my father's involvement here with taking Sheikh Abdul Basit around, we had the opportunity of being in his company. And I clearly remember that he recited in the same Juma Masjid, the Tirah you heard of mine, in the same Juma Masjid he recited in 1966. I was a young boy and somehow Allah put the spark of the Quran into me that I will become a Hafiz in Quran, and inshallah Allah make it possible that one day I go and study by him. So alhamdulillah that Allah, you know, accepted that dua. And just going quickly onto this, years later, Sheikh Abdul Basit mentioned to us that whenever he recited the Quran, before reciting the Quran, he's always dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that let his recitation be a transmission of the nur and the barakah of the Quran to the listeners. And I'm sure that is why there are so many people worldwide that have been inspired by his recitation and gone on to become Hafiz of Quran, Qura, and also Ulama. Subsequent to that, short while later, we were in the month of Ramadan, and at our masjid in Mayville, Hafiz Sufi Parag, Hafiz Daud Makara, Rabbani Rahman, Hafiz Amuk, Hafiz Sufi Parag, one of the oldest Kufar here in Durban. He's 94 years old, alhamdulillah. So I was listening to them reading. I said, inshallah, Allah, make it possible. I'll preach my Hibs of Quran and maybe also have the opportunity of performing Taraweeh. So I spoke to my parents, and my father then spoke to Hafiz Sufi Parag that my son wants to become a Hafiz of Quran. So he said, you know, it's no joke for somebody to become Hafiz of Quran. So Hafiz Sufi Parag then spoke to a marhum Mawlana Khatib, who was his ustad. And Mawlana Khatib told him, okay, let him start from para 26 to 30. If he's able to finish those five separas, then Allah has written for him to become Hafiz al-Quran. Because sometimes people start one, two paras and they drop off. So I think with their du'as, alhamdulillah, I started from Surah Qaf in para 26. And then, alhamdulillah, I finished the five separas. Of course, I was in high school at the same time. But Saturdays, Sundays, I have to go for his classes. All school holidays have to go for his classes. So there wasn't a break at all, but alhamdulillah, it has paid off. So that's how I started my hijz on the Hafiz Sufi Parag. Allah bless him. And Jesus, Mawlana Khatib. Mawlana Khatib started the first hijz of Quran in Durban in the Mabel Masjid, alhamdulillah. So I still had this urge to go to Cairo over there after finishing my hijz of Quran. And after finishing the trick, I joined, you know, the family business for a while. And somewhere along the line, my father said, do you still want to go to Cairo? I said, yeah, I want to go to Cairo and study. I didn't know that my father had a friend in Cairo by the name of Al-Hajj Liwa Abdul Hamid Lotfi Rabbani Arhamu. I'm just going to take it down memory lane. Of course, I went with my father, my parents to Cairo subsequent to that. And my father met a Abdul Hamid Lotfi. He was a retired police general in the police force, but a passion he had for Quran for many, many years. In charge of the time, I can mention that also. But the same thing I learned whilst I was there is that my father met this Al-Hajj Abdul Hamid Lotfi in 1949 on Dublin Noor. At that time, it was before I was even born. My father was going up Jabalun Nur to go to Ghar al-Hira. He was coming down. My father sat on a rock. He sat next to my father. This is Allah. They made salam on another, greeted one another. And he could speak English, so he told my father that visit us in Cairo. And alhamdulillah, they were planning to go to Cairo after Hajj that year. So that's how their relationship, you know, when they say you meet people from Hajj, that it's a lasting relationship. Sure. Little realizing that years later, you know, his son would go and stay with Haji Abdul Hamid Lotfi. So that's how I ended up going to stay in their home as one of their sons. And the strange thing again here is that this Al-Hajj Abdul Hamid Lotfi has a very, very close relationship with Sheikh Abdul Basit Abdul Samad from Badr al-Hamu. And how that happened was in the early days when Al-Hajj Abdul Hamid Lotfi qualified as a police station commander, his first mission was to be station commander in Armand, which is this, the birthplace and the town where Sheikh Abdul Basit Ibrahim comes from. So can you imagine that I had the opportunity and of staying with someone, and Al-Hajj Abdul Hamid Lotfi told me that Sheikh Abdul Basit, he saw him in his young days, you know, there, and you know, being the station commander, he was respected, and he took a liking for Sheikh Abdul Basir Bani Rahmu. And he, the following year, came to Cairo. And some years later, when Sheikh Abdul Basir came to Cairo, he treated Haji Abdul Hamid Lutfi as like a father figure, to such an extent that he would not leave town without phoning him. Whenever he came back, he used to phone him. So he was the one, Haji Abdul Hamid Lutfi, that took me to Sheikh Abdul Basir and spoke to him about assisting me with the Quran, the Qiraa, and so on. Sheikh Abdul Basir told him, he said, look, I don't have time. You know, I travel a lot. I don't even have time to spend our time to teach my own sons. But Haji Abdul Hamid Lutfi told him that, look, I want you to oversee his studies while in Cairo. Get whoever you want, whichever shuyukh that you want, to assist him. So just coming back here in Durban, I mean, give due to Hafiz Sufi Barak for all the hard work he has done in setting my foundation over here for the Quran and Hifz al-Quran. And mashallah, he is one of those few that finishes Hifz al-Quran in 8.5 months. So youngsters out there who are listening in, 8.5 months, he finishes Hifz al-Quran. And the same year, Mawlana Khatib made him perform 20 rakats Taraweeh in Queen's Masjid. His first 14 siparas, he used to do quarter sipara sabak a day. So alhamdulillah, you know, he's still a walking Quran, mashallah. Alhamdulillah, he's been reading 10 to 15 paras a day. He said now he has slowed down, still reading about 7 to 10 paras a day. So alhamdulillah, has given him good health. So the secret of success is Al-Quran al-Kareem. Coming back to Cairo, because I'm not sure how much of time we have, Habisam.
Qarisab, this entire program is going to be for Qarisab right until 5 to 3 today, inshallah. We want to hear as much as we can, and if we not finish Qarisab, part 2 will be next week then.
Okay, inshallah. Okay, coming back, you know, I thank Allah that long before I came into this world, Allah has already planned that Al-Haji Abdul Hamid Lutfi to meet my dad on Jablan Noor, where the first wahi came down, and so it was Allah's plan, and we always make dua that Allah always make a servant of the Quran, and even for parents, always make dua for their children, their grandchildren, that Allah makes them, you know, from Ahlul Quran, servants of the Quran.
I mean.
For the youngsters out there, just to deviate, it is not an easy task to become Hafiz of Quran. It is Allah's kalam, kalam Allah. A lot of sacrifice is required by the students of Quran, and also by the teachers, but very important role the parents have to play with regards to their children for Hifz al-Quran. Coming back on this journey in Cairo, in that first meeting with Sheikh Abdul Basir of the Samad, he remembered my father very well. He couldn't speak very much English. I couldn't speak any Arabic. The only English he knew, you know, how are you? Fine, thank you. So that's all he could speak in English, but Al-Haj Abdul Hamid Rukhi was excellent in English. So he, you know, asked him to take me on and oversee my studies. So Sheikh Abdul Basir was still reluctant, and as we were having a discussion, he was translating to me what discussion was taking place. And he then told him, Al-Haj Abdul Hamid Rukhi told Sheikh Abdul Basir, Rabbana Arhamu, who am I to you? So Sheikh Abdul Basir Ibn Hamud said, well, you are my father. So he said, as a father, I am telling you that Ahmad Yusuf Lockhart is your son, and you're going to take care of him and his studies once he is here. You get whichever Arabic teacher, whichever sheikh you want, but at the end of the day, you have to oversee his studies. So I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he then accepted. They then took me to the Al-Azhar University because they knew people at the Al-Azhar Idara and the Mashaykhat Al-Azhar. And, you know, going back in the 70s, once we were sitting in the office over there, and they said they want to enroll me at the Al-Azhar, they said, look, but you can't speak any Arabic. They said, well, you'll have to go to the Arabic course. They have a course called Dirasat Al-Khasra fi Majma Al-Bahus Al-Islamiyya. And then they said, look, but I'm a Hafiz Al-Quran. Now, it surprised them that I couldn't speak any Arabic, but I'm a Hafiz al-Quran, so they asked me to read from different places in the Quran. Of course, my tajweed wasn't good because coming here from South Africa at the time, and they were amazed that how come foreigners who don't even speak any Arabic have become Hafiz of Quran. And of course now over the years they have seen how Muslims worldwide who do not speak Arabic but are able to become Hafiz of Quran. So they put me instead of the first level into the second level, because it was difficult in the beginning. I remember when I entered the class, the chef told me, tafaddal udkhul means enter. I didn't even know udkhul means enter at that point in time. And the boys in the class, because some of them were foreigners, they said, no, chef is telling you, enter the classroom. And then he made salam, I made salam to him, then he said, ijlis, ya ibn. So the boys then told me, he's asking you to sit down here. So this is how we started, alhamdulillah. And Sheikh Abdul Basir Ibn Hamad got hold of another Sheikh who was on Cairo Radio, Sheikh Abdul Aziz Bakri, Rabbana Yarhamu. And he told Sheikh Abdul Aziz Bakri to start with me with the Quran right from the beginning. So I had to start my Hifz al-Quran all over again with Ilm al-Tajweed. And not being much Arabic, I used to have a dictionary in front of me, trying to understand the Sheikh to explain to me, because he could only speak in Arabic. And I still remember in the early days when he was teaching me, some of the laws, when he said, izhar. So izhar in the dictionary means clear. Now I want to know, what does he mean by clear, right? Ifa means hidden. So I was trying to understand, when he's saying ifa, what is he trying to say hidden? So I had to go to Maulana Ismail Abdul Razak, who was that time used to teach also a lecture at the Al-Azhar University. I used to go to his home, and there weren't many people that knew Ilm al-Tajweed at that point in time. So he would speak to some of the shuyukh and understand some of these things, and then explain a few things to me in the beginning until I learned some Arabic. So this is how I started, and we learned over there, they call it the Tuhfa wa Jazariya, which is your basics for learning the Firah and Hafs and Asr, and everything else is built on that. So this is how it started. And for 2 years, Sheikh Abdul Basir Ibn Hamad did not want me to study anything about voice control, Firah, reading. He said, you must complete your Hifz al-Quran according to Firah and Hafs with Ilm al-Tajweed. So it took 2 years to redo the whole Quran all over again. It was quite difficult because pronunciation, you have to do it, the proper pronunciation, bring all the Tajweed rules in. And as you're reading from memory, he stops you. Your mud is not right, your idgham is not right, and so on. So, but alhamdulillah, it was a very good learning curve for me. I thank Allah for that, and for the shuyukh that assisted me. On Sheikh Abdul Aziz Bakri, Rabbana Yarhamu, the strange thing that happened is that after I finished my hifz, we had from Nigel in Johannesburg, Haji Mahmoud Kasuti. He came down to Cairo, and we then put Sheikh Abdul Aziz Bakri onto him, and he studied his hifz al-Quran, the Quran also over there, that Sheikh Abdul Aziz Bakri taught him. But Sheikh Abdul Basit thereafter got this, Sheikh Abdul Aziz Bakri to teach all his sons to become Hafiz al-Quran. So, Sheikh Yasir Abdul Basit, Sheikh Tariq Abdul Basit, who are Qurra today, did the Hifz al-Quran under the same Sheikh Abdul Aziz Bakri. So, alhamdulillah, Sheikh Abdul Basit Ibrahim, they meet the start of his first student, part of the family, and then Sheikh Abdul Basit sent the Hifz al-Quran. And alhamdulillah, Sheikh Abdul Aziz Bakri went on to continue to teach the grandchildren of Sheikh Abdul Basit in his home, Quran, normal Quran reading. And it so happened that one day when Sheikh Abdul Aziz Bakri came to his house, in the afternoon to teach the grandchildren of Sheikh Abdul Basit, and they normally bring tea for him. By the time they would bring the tea and come, he had passed away in the house of Sheikh Abdul Basit Abdul Samad. So Sheikh Abdul Aziz Bakri, one of my key asatiz who taught me Qira Muratala in Cairo, and the ustaz of the tawqil for many of Sheikh Abdul Basit's sons and taught his grandchildren, passed away in the house of Sheikh Abdul Basit Abdul Samad. So alhamdulillah, you know, it's a blessing for us that we are fortunate to be amongst Ahlul Quran. I also had Sheikh Ahmad Ruzdaqi, who was also some years later the Secretary General of the Qurra Council of Egypt. He was related to Sheikh Abdul Basit Rabbani Alhamu, and he came from the village right next door to Sheikh Abdul Basit's village known as Al Ruzeifan. He was very good in voice modulation, qira'a tones, expressing the meaning to different modulations, because he also was inspired by Sheikh Abdul Basit Abdul Samad in his young days. Inshallah, in the time I can talk about how he was inspired by Sheikh Abdul Basit Abdul Samad. So he was very, very close to Sheikh Abdul Basit also. So it so happened that Haji Abdul Hamid Lutfi's mother passed away, Sheikh Abdul Basit was out of town, so he asked Sheikh Ahmad Ruzeki to come and recite that evening on his behalf. The next night, Sheikh Abdul Basit and Sheikh Ruzeki came to the house, and Sheikh Ahmad Ruzeki recited, and then Sheikh Abdul Basit recited, and Sheikh Ahmad Ruzeki wanted to know, who am I, is relating to me? So he said, no, he's Ahmed Yusuf Lockhart. Said, from where? He said, from Junub Africa. So that time people didn't know South Africa. Junub Africa then is the south of Africa. So he said, no, people didn't know Mandela, but Sheikh Dida, Rabbani Arhamu. So he said, no, it's past Rhodesia, past Zimbabwe, in the bottom part of Africa. And he said, no, well, then he must also read. So I read in front of them, in the house, and then they discussed, and they said, look, I did a lot of training now with regards to my qira'ah. And that is when Sheikh Abdul Basit told Sheikh Ahmad Ruzeki to now start working with me on the qira'ah, on tones, etc. And I used to go to Sheikh Ahmad Ruzeki also 3 times a week in the evenings. Once a month he used to recite in the Quran al-Fajr in Masjid al-Hussein. So that night, I used to spend the whole night with him at his house, at his flat. Because, if they're reading early part of the morning, they never used to take sleep or rest because the voice has to be soft, the throat has to be warm. So I used to sit with him right till 2 o'clock in the morning and go with him to Masjid al-Hussein. I had a car, alhamdulillah, then after that, bring him back to his home, spend a bit of time. I used to get back home only about 6 or 7 in the morning. So, for the students to know that you have to make sacrifice for the Quran if you allow to bless you with the Quran. I thank Allah for what He has given me for the Quran. And I had to practice. When Sheikh Ahmad Ruzeki started training me with qira'ah and voice recitation, there were times just for the voice, even early on when I was doing my ilm with tajweed and qira'ah with tajweed, I used to sit between 6 to 8 hours every day on the Quran. It was not easy. Even came to qira'ah, I remember Sheikh Ahmad Ruzeki used to record in my tape recorder. Even he used to recite in the masjid the qira'ah, I used to record it. I used to take it home and practice on it. And for students who, his students will know that there are times that you learn a sabak, but it just doesn't go down in your mind. These things happen to students all the time, from time to time. It's a test. You mustn't give up hope. As you increase Hifz al-Quran, different qira'ah, 10, 15, 20, it does become a lot more difficult. And one must persevere. There are times that you find that those stars will shout you why you don't know, why you didn't learn, or didn't you learn. And you say, but I learned last night for hours and hours, but somehow it didn't sink in my head. So I remember one incident that I had relates to the qira'ah side. Sheikh Ahmad Ruzeki gave me a passage from his qira'ah that I had to practice on, and this one part was extremely tricky from the voice point of view. I remember spending that night hours and hours trying to get that tune. I recorded myself, and when I took it to him, the recording, the next evening, he told me, Sheikh Ahmad, you didn't learn last night. Can you imagine how I felt? At that point in time, I said, maybe it's only a gift for the Egyptians, not for us as foreigners. maybe I should stop, maybe I should not give it up and so on. But I said, no, this is all a test, and Allah wants you to persevere. You must work hard. Alhamdulillah, I did, and you know, they also gained encouragement. So to our students out there, our young kuffar, if they become the hafiz of Quran, don't feel disappointed. Don't feel that it's difficult. And the other thing is that for the youngsters out there, Allah blesses each one differently. Some at my wasad, 8.5% became hafiz of Quran. Alhamdulillah, I did my hijjah and the hafiz Sufi Fahad over 2.5 years. The system he had, of course, I mentioned I started from father 26 to 30, and then he brought me down 25, 24, right up to, and then surah by surah coming down, and the last surah was Surah Al-Baqarah. Alhamdulillah, as time went on, I used to average 10 fathers over 10 months, father a month, alhamdulillah. Then 1 month before Ramadan, revision, so I finished the last 10 fathers in the first year. And I was still a young boy. I think I must have been about 13 at the time. And my hafizah wanted me to perform Taraweeh in the last 10 nights. Mahmoud Mawla Lut was there at the masjid. Allah grant him the good dose. And he asked Hafiz Sufi Farak, he said, but he's too young. Is he baligh to go on the musalla? And hafizah said, yes. And so from that time, I think alhamdulillah, over 50 years I've been on the musalla. Allah accept our, you know, Taraweeh. And the first, and that year we had also a sheikh from Cape Town who also performed in Naval Masjid. So the, every year I used to finish 10 sifaras. He never used to want me to do more than 10. So every para I used to finish, revision again, then continue, finish 10 paras, 1 month of a revision, and then Ramadan, Taraweeh, and then back again on Quran. And of course, alhamdulillah, the last, the first 10 paras, which was my last 10, alhamdulillah, took me about 6 months to finish. Alhamdulillah, that was here. So alhamdulillah, this is over here. Allah bless Hafiz Sufi Barak. I was his first student. And alhamdulillah, you know, a lot of students have become Hafiz of Quran under him. And he also, you know, then went on to have students for over 30 years to perform Taraweeh in different masjids in Phoenix, where they didn't have full Quran to Taraweeh. So only this year with the lockdown, the Huffaz couldn't go, but, you know, for over 30 years they've been serving over there. So, alhamdulillah, you know, he's also a legend, mashallah, for Quran al-Kareem. You know, I don't know how much of time we have,
Qadisab, I think we have about 3 minutes remaining. There's a news coming up at 3 o'clock, and but I think before we even conclude, we wanted to humbly request Qadisab to recite for us, and especially for the benefit of our local, national, as well as international listeners. And then Qadisab, we can perhaps have another interview as well, because I think this will take us a good few interviews, inshallah.
Inshallah. Okay, then I'll recite for you, inshallah.
Jay, please, Qadisam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. La yastawi ashabun nari wa ashabul jannah. أصحاب الجنة هم الفائزون لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو عالم الغيب والشهادة هو الرحمن عبادتي هو الرحمن الرحيم هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن سبحان الله عما يشركون هو الله الخالق البارئ المصور له الأسماء الحسنى يسبح له ما في السماء وهو العزيز الحكيم صدق الله العظيم
MashaAllah, Jazakallah khair, Qadi Sahib, for joining us. Qadi Sahib, we hope to continue with our interview, inshallah, as soon as Qadi Sahib is available in a Saturday or two. We request Qadi Sahib to ask. Qadi Sahib, just about 30 seconds before the news comes up, Qadi Sahib's concluding words.
Okay, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for accepting us to be servants of the Quran. Allah, let the Quran always be a witness in our favor, never against us. And my dua is that all those that are studying the Quran, trying to become hafiz of Quran, Allah make it easier upon them and let them complete the hafiz of the Quran and also be servants of the Quran and Kareem. And also, inspire generations to come, inshallah. And once again, to your Habib Sahib, Jazakallah for this opportunity.
Our pleasure. Jazakallah khair, Qadi Sahib, for accepting our invitation. And inshallah, we look forward to future interviews. Remember, as you esteemed to us, Qadi Sahib. Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Well, yeah. That was Durban's very own Qari Ahmad Loket Sahib joining us on the program. Jazakallah khair to our sound engineer, Brother Mahmoud, for his assistance. And to you, the esteemed listener of Radio Islam International. Inshallah, we'll be back with you next week. Do remember, podcast of this program. You can contact Radio Islam International directly. It's time for the news. It's already 3 p.m. في أمان الله السلام السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته